Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party.
Was filmed in front of a live studio audience.
This is Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where we talk about foodie boops and scootaloo boops, zubin doops, bizzin bops. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Jason Razorbabes Frizzbabe. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're also joined by Jeremy Morrison, our esteemed guest this week. I was going to queue up a musical cue, but I don't have it queued up. I feel regretful now. But anyway... We got Jeremy Morrison. How are you doing?
I am doing just wonderful. Just wonderful. Thank you for having me.
No problem.
you suck at you suck at hosting. I suck at being a guest. So we even each other out, maybe?
Maybe. This between me being the worst host and you being the worst guest, this is going to be the best episode ever. I don't have any of my... my music queued up. I don't have anything going, despite the fact that I spent a half an hour before we started recording queuing things up. I realized that I didn't have the proper things queued up.
I was going to say, I don't like the fact that you're challenging me for worst host ever. That kind of, it's getting me off on the wrong foot, man.
Well, yeah, I have never compared Frisbee to like a wildebeest, so maybe you got the crown on that one. just insulting all the co-hosts and all the guests, all the listeners.
Yeah, that is true. I'm bad at my job, and I'm good at being bad at it. So that's good, I guess.
I do like it. I like tuning in, and the first thing that happens is I'm called like some kind of retard for tuning in, some asshole. I like that. That's what I look for in a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, until people start proving, like, I know you guys listen, but until people start to prove that they're listening, I'm just dedicated to insulting whoever may be listening other than you two.
I like that, so much as it's other than me. I'm happy about it. Speaking of your Acid Pop Cult, which you can find at acidpopcult.com and on the YouTubes and everything like that.
Are we on YouTube?
Yep. You can get that on YouTube. You can find it on the Drudge Report. Huffington Post, Newgrounds,
Smoking Gun,
Style Project. So speaking of this show and your podcasting in general, last time you were on the show a couple of months ago, you were on, you were promoting your new podcast called Lady in the Douche. And I tried to level with you. I said, listen, this isn't going to be like, this isn't going to be this, you know, crazy thing that you do. Where you release an acid pop cult, you know, like you'll go 3 months without doing one, and then you'll do like 4 in 1 week, and then it's like another 2 months without one. You know, you got the schedule locked down on this, and you said yes, that you got the schedule locked down on Lady in the Douche. And here we are, months and months later, there's only been one episode of Lady in the Douche. Now I need you to explain yourself.
Oh, I called Faith yesterday, and I was like, listen here, cunt. I'm going on Pool Party, and I know Parker's going to ask me about this, so I'm ready to explain. And as I learned on the last podcast that I was on with you fine folks, you always blame your co-host, and I have permission to do so. Unfortunately, whenever we came on your show and we thought that we were going to start the podcast that week, we had found out the hard way that iTunes had changed their website acceptance for podcasts. And as we had set everything up on WordPress, we no longer could use a WordPress website to submit to FeedBurner that then submits to iTunes. And after about 2 to 3 weeks of battling well, I didn't even find that out at first. I found that out like 3 weeks later. And then Faith got us on another website, but she didn't want to start the podcast just yet because she wanted to wait until we could change the domain of latdradio.com to the new website. And I was like, that's really stupid. We could do that later. Like, it's as long as we're going to, like, iTunes and stuff, I don't think it really matters. Because, face it, people want to hear what we have to say. Not really, but I guess people do. And then she was like, no.
Why does that one go on for so long?
It's so long. But I appreciate the crowd's reaction. They sound like they're behind me.
They're a very receptive crowd.
Yeah, they are. So we waited per her insistence until we could transfer the domain from WordPress to this new website. And once we were eligible to do that, because WordPress is so stupid that they make you wait an extra month before you can transfer anything, then she got super busy with work. Which, if we were already recording the podcast, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But because we haven't started yet and she's still trying to build the website, in her mind, she's justifying it as soon as work calms down, she just hired somebody that she's training. She's going on all these business trips. Once she gets all that out of the way, we can start recording again after she finishes touching up the website. Because at the end of the day, she's a perfectionist, and I kind of hate that about her. Because I'm somebody that can shit in a toilet, record it, and put it on iTunes and feel like that was a great episode one. I mean, you guys heard it, Acid Pop Cult. You know that's true. But so far, the only reason why LATD Radio is not up is because 100% her fault. So, yeah. Long story. Sorry about that.
That's quite all right. I asked. I wanted the heavy scoops.
You heard it here first, kids.
Now, your other podcast, the Acid Pop Cult, the aforementioned Acid Pop Cult, you guys have been on, like, a, what, 3-month hiatus or something like this, and now you're back? Question mark.
It was only a month. And as I told the audience in episode 29, I got busy with work. Roxy was on business trips, and Lee had a lot of work that he was doing, so we're like, fuck it, it's summer, we'll just try to take 2 weeks off, record an episode, and then release another one in 2 weeks. Unfortunately, in between that break, it was just Lee and I that recorded an episode. So Roxy wasn't on for a month, I guess. But no, we're back. We've reformatted the show a little bit, as you guys heard, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We're making it more... for the entire year that we've been on the podcast, I've always felt that I was kind of stealing too much from you, whether it be from Pool Party Radio or Junk Food Dinner. And so we were trying to come up with our own little brand in the interim, and I think that we successfully did that. We're still going to talk about cult movies and stuff.
That's our thing. That's our thing. We're the first people to ever talk about cult movies on a podcast. That's our thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm saying I stole from you. I 100% did that, and we're still going to do that, but not as much. You know, we're not going to do like, okay, this week we're going to do this, this, and this, 3 movies, and then let's discuss. Because I think that Lee and I both, as much as we love talking about movies, we can talk about other things as well. Not to say that Roxy doesn't, but that's what Roxy enjoys the most. So we're going to break it up. We're going to talk about things that are all over the entertainment spectrum, whether it be during the Rants and Rambles segment that I do, or the Redneck Report, which Lee does, or Roxy's Rack, which she does, aptly named. We're still gonna talk about, you know, pop culture and everything, but we're not going to steal as much from you guys, which was one of my confessions. So I just blew that, I guess.
Well, did you know that all of your segments start with R&R?
Yes, we found that out after we assigned Lee the Redneck Report, because as much as he tries to say on air that he's not a redneck, Roxy and I think he is. We think that he is a redneck. So that's why he got that. And then whenever Faith and I initially went to do Lady in the Douche, I wanted to call the podcast Rants and Rambles, because she rants and I ramble for the most part whenever we're talking to each other, but she didn't really like that. So I just borrowed that name that she shot down, and Roxy loved it. And then she's like, well, I need something that's like R&R 2. I was like, why? And she's like, well, Redneck Report, Rants and Rambles. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm a genius. and so then she came up with Roxy's. I came up with Roxy's Rack, which I think is just, you know, perfect. But she wants to call it Roxy's Rack Review, which is RRR. And she's saying it because Rants and Rambles, Redneck Report. I'm like, no, Redneck is one word. And Rants and Ramble, the and is an ampersand. So that's not technically a word. So she calls it Roxy's Rack Review. I try to acknowledge that it's for Roxy's Rack Review, but I like to call it Roxy's Rack because it's more ambiguous.
That's true. It's a clever play on words.
Yeah, and let's face it, Roxy's Rack has taken on a life of its own ever since the first application that she got for the contest, but we were just saying send applications in and we'll review them and we'll decide whether or not she should date people. Listen to the show. Ever since then, everybody talks about Roxy's Rack, which, I mean, I think it's a C cup at best, but if people want to think it's huge, I'm all for it. If it gets us iTunes rates and reviews, which it doesn't, which is another R&R, Mr. Frisbee, I'm all for it.
That one didn't make sense. Let's cut that one out.
It made perfect sense. Sorry, I'm rambling now, which is part of my segment, but while you guys were on hold, I did a lot of shots, because nice. I mentioned to you guys in the pre-show that I've never been on your show not drunk.
Me neither.
Well, I'm sober, and I have some sobering questions. you've had a lot of high-profile guests on your show.
We have?
High-profile in the sense of, like, cult movie and cinema, from Tiffany Shepas to Lloyd Kaufman.
Yeah.
Do you plan on having any other guests in the future?
100%. I feel kind of lucky that in my line of work, I do meet a lot of cool people just from being on projects or projects that are associated with them. So I have that aspect going for me that I can always ask somebody on if they're not too busy. And I want to keep doing that because I know that the listeners do dig that. So far in the 29 episodes that we've done, I think that the Clay Westervelt episode has gotten the best response, which was our Jim Wynorski tribute.
Right.
Clay had written and directed the film, the documentary Puppetopolis. If any of your listeners are not aware of that film, they should definitely check it out.
I've been meaning to watch it. It's on those Netflix instants.
It's amazing. It is so good. And I'm not even just saying that because he's not really a friend. You know, he's just somebody that came on and we're friendly. I have no reason to plug this movie. It's a great documentary. I think you'd really like it. But to get back to Frisbee's question, yes, I want to have a lot of guests on in the future that are associated with cult movies, are associated with movies in general, because I think that it's not something that I want to bust my balls over every week, but whenever we have guests on, it's really worked out for us. And until we hit that wall of a filmmaker that comes on and it's just like completely boring, or we just hate the movie that we're reviewing, but we have them on because we feel like, you know, we need to, until that time comes, we're going to continue to do it.
Cool. Well, that's the beauty of it, is that you can do it whenever you want. Like, it's your show. So, you know, whenever you feel the chance to, the time is right, you can strike.
Yes. And I work for Rifkin, and I've asked him twice if he'd come on. The first time he's like, yeah, I'd love to do your podcast. I'd love to talk about movies and stuff. The second time I asked him, he goes, well, you know, be easier if you were in LA right now. Can't we just record it in LA? Why don't you fly out to LA? And that's when I realized that Rifkin will never be on the podcast. So aside from him, there's any filmmakers like with the smallest movie that are listening, we'll have you on. Just contact me or something, I guess. I don't know. I'm drunk.
Nice. I like that. These are too goddamn long. Well, speaking of podcasts, I want to do a thing real quick. I won't take much time. I've been paying a lot of attention to the TMZ lately and stuff like this, these Perez Hiltons. And I think I got the chops, to get into this, there's not really a market, there's not really a place we can go to get podcast scoops, dirt and all that. You know, like the real juicy inside stuff about the podcasts. And I feel like I'm just the right man to bring all the real inside juicy tidbits about the podcasts of the world. So I've been out there on the beat and I've been collecting these things. And the first thing I have is that this is a real secret. This is not many people know this. This is an exclusive right here. But Mark Maron, famed host of the WTF podcast, it seems like lately he's been feeling very insecure. You see, quite a problem has arisen for him in his personal life. He doesn't like talking about it publicly, but it turns out he's a very insecure man. My sources are telling me.
Right. This is completely opposite of his online persona and his podcast.
Totally different. This is, he's playing it very close to the vest, this right. information.
Sure. Why not? I mean, yeah.
The next thing that I have, you see, and this is kind of, this is one of those blind items. You know, like you ever get on the TMZ and you see those blind items that they have, or like, that their sources may not be too credible, so like they just kind of have to hint around the person's identity and they can't really tell you who it is, here's a blind item. I guess I just blew it. But here's a blind item. Star of Vanilla Sky may be gay. Stuff like that. So I've got one of those. It turns out on the hit podcast Kissing Contest, one of the three hosts is not very happy about their segment, The Snacks Chat. I can't say which one it is. It's a very secretive thing. These are my sources here. Telling me... You see, that's funny because on the show, that guy's...
It's not at all hard to tell. Because one person's very vocal about it.
Yeah. So that's why it's funny. That's the joke of this.
You see.
Here's the lightning round.
And now, it's time
for the lightning round.
First up in the lightning round, in Philadelphia, a couple of Catholic priests are accused of raping an altar boy. While this isn't necessarily new news in the world of Catholic priests abusing their power and their altar boys.
Well, isn't it one Catholic priest and one school teacher?
In a Catholic school, yeah. It's a Reverend Charles Englehart and Bernard Sherrow, a teacher at the parish's school. They've been charged with rape, indecent sexual assault, and other criminal charges and the alleged assaults that occurred about a decade ago. But the trial... which was scheduled to start Tuesday of this week, was postponed due to a family emergency for a defense attorney. Mm. A new trial date has been set.
And when the judge postponed this, he had everybody there and he had to postpone it. You know what he told the defendants?
What's that?
And I'll deal with you nerds later.
Sounds about right. Yeah, this is the worst excuse ever. It's like, oh no, I'm calling in sick for this trial that I have. Can you please reschedule?
Yeah, I've got to put this punishing the pedophiles on the back burner because I've got to pick my kids up from soccer practice today, Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that it's things have gone a little too far when you're a Catholic priest and you've got a buddy who's a Catholic school teacher and you're just passing these kids around back and forth. It's Catholic school has become, and the Catholic Church has become a lot like a frat party, it seems.
Yeah, extensively so, because this kid this guy who's in his 20s now and referred to as Billy to help protect his identity, he was a witness on another case for like another teacher who raped him like about a year before these rapes happened. So this kid is, these aren't the only two.
Did he win that one?
It was for Reverend Lynn. That's and that guy's been away for about 5 to 6 years.
Oh, 5 to 6 years. So about half the time that a guy who smokes one hit of weed goes to jail for. Good work.
Yeah, yeah. Priorities, you see.
Yeah.
Because he's a priest.
Mm-hmm. So. At least he's going to jail for a little longer than a guy who murders people. So that's good, I guess.
The story is so tragic, but I can't help but laugh because it's like, this kid has the worst fucking luck.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, definitely.
Well, I think, like, the fact that he, like, did this a year ago and now he's doing it again, like, that kind of makes me think that he's making this up. Like, he tried his luck and he was like, all right, I'm going to get this son of a bitch, the first guy. You know, I'm just going to, like, make up something about this first guy and we'll see how it goes. And then he won and that guy had to go to jail. Like, you know, like, he was, like, trying to get revenge on him for, like, giving him detention one day or something. And then it worked. So he was like, all right, now I'm going to get these other two guys, see if that works. And, like, it's just going to keep going and going. This is, like, the best, like, practical joke you could play on anybody. He's just accusing them of raping you.
Well, it actually reminded me of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like, the first season, one of the best episodes of that entire series is Charlie Got Molested. And it's about exactly that, where one of the gang, Charlie Day, gets kind of caught up in this sort of blackmail scenario with two other kids he went to high school with who are forcing him to create a false testimony about, like, their gym school teacher at a Catholic school.
Do you remember who played that gym school teacher?
It was Principal Belding.
And I'll deal with the nerves later.
It's very ironic. He does a very good job of it, too, where he's none too pleased with these nerds, and he must deal with them later.
Wow.
Yeah. How about you, Jeremy? You ever been molested by a teacher?
Not a teacher, but family members. So, I mean, I almost feel like you guys could go Barbara Walters on this show right now, and, like, I'll get a box of Kleenex and talk about my molestation. But if I've learned anything from being raped as a kid, it's you keep your mouth shut and you just hate the elders whenever you get older. That's what I learned.
Yeah, that's something you got to play close to the vest. Don't ever tell anybody. Don't ever start a Tumblr blog about it. Just
like that Penn State shit. It's like you're ruining a great football legacy because your butt hurt, literally.
Yeah, you selfish pricks. You're ruining the sanctity of the game where people try to break each other's necks. You selfish dickheads.
Other than that, I got nothing.
Yeah, I never went to a Catholic school or a private school, but unfortunately, this is such well-worn territory. Like, the you know, as far back as we can remember from news media outlets of kids coming forward with this stuff. Or people who've been through it already and coming forward with this stuff. Like, this guy's in his 20s, and I mean, understandably so, he counts this for, like, a lifelong use of drug abuse and self-abuse and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I don't know if I would ever send a kid to Catholic school.
Maybe if they were, like, really bad kids and you, like, wanted to ground them. You know, like,
going to Catholic school.
Yeah.
I went to the Catholic school for 3 years, kindergarten through third grade. I left halfway through third grade. And I got to say, the priest never tried anything funny with me. But those fucking cunt nuns, man, they were mean.
Yeah, I would imagine. Everything I've ever heard about nuns is that they're either mean or in the least funny movies ever, like Nuns on the Run. Either one. Like, Oh, please go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say the Blues Brothers had a great nun.
I don't know anything about these Blues Brothers.
I'm leaving. Good night, everybody. I hurt, Parker. Not your baby.
Up next on Lightning Round, computer mogul Blizzard has cut their World of Warcraft service to Iran, amongst other services, because in order to comply with U.S. trade sanctions against Iran, Blizzard cut off all access to World of Warcraft WoW servers to all of Iran sometime last week. This is likely to cause the most extreme of all protests, bringing out orcs, blood elves, humans, all to fight for their chance to play WoW again.
Yeah, I think this is really funny because it's like America, you know, like we're all like, oh man, these Iranians, you know, they might have these nuclear weapons, you know, they're like denying the Holocaust and threatening Israel. Like, what do we do about this? And like another guy's like, I got the perfect plan. Let's not let them, let's cut off their Warcraft right before the new expansion comes out. That'll really teach those guys a lesson. That's what war is like nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But, I really can't imagine anything worse. Like, I think that, you know, this is probably the worst thing for the Iranians. Like, forget about all these, like, things where, like, we, don't let food into their country and, like, everybody's starving to death and, like, where, we, like, threaten to, like, bomb them with, like, radio-controlled helicopters and stuff. Like, not letting them play Warcraft right before the Mists of Pandaria comes out. I think that's really gonna start World War III, probably. I mean, it looks very fun. Really, the only thing worse that we could have done to them is make Blizzard cancel all their Warcraft subscriptions, like, the day before Pandaria came out. Or maybe the day after.
So they get, like, that little taste, but then it's taken right back from them.
Yeah. Like that time that America sent everybody in Nagasaki, like, a new Cadillac, and then the next day they bombed them. It would be exactly like that.
But it's terrible because this is a form of sustenance to them. Like, it may not be nutritional in any sense, but it keeps their mind off of taking care of themselves and having good nutrition, much like Warcraft users anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, it takes their mind off the fact that if they go, maybe I don't believe in God, that they get stoned to death in the streets. It takes their mind off of that.
Yeah, completely different.
Also, I wanted to mention that I canceled my Warcraft subscription recently. I'm very happy.
What happened? What?
That's so long.
They were very excited for you.
Yeah.
What changed your mind? Like, you're going through all these weird changes, Parker. I feel like I can't keep up. One week you're telling me you can't watch porn anymore because it's getting too extreme with the prolapsed anuses.
Oh, hey, we're not allowed to mention that word anymore.
Mike, no, I just wanted to throw it in once. It's cool. Mike Dick can get a little bit sick.
We're sorry, Mike Dick. Come on. We got to put a spoiler alert on this episode now.
Just call it a pink sock.
Okay.
It does kind of look like
that. Yeah, it's like about these pink socks and whatnots.
It looks like a pink sock filled with turds.
I called it a water snake. If you ever had a water snake as a kid, like those little... It was like basically an inverted balloon.
And you put your penis
onto it.
Yeah, and you put your penis in it. You put it in the microwave for a second, and you put your penis in it. That's what those things were for.
I did not know that. That's probably why I got raped.
So young and naive.
Yeah.
With your water snakes.
People coming into your room, do you know what this water snake is for? And then you say no, and they're like, all right, I'm going to put my penis in you then.
I feel like this episode is going to be like, intro'd by, like, this week, Jeremy L. Morrison confesses the multiple rapes as a child.
Before we even get to the confessions part of the show.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's your pre-confession game. I can't really imagine what your real confessions are going to be like.
Yeah, yeah.
I had nothing like that on the list. It's all, like, anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, between, like, this new view on porn, I get this new... outlook on, wow, you canceled your account. Why did you cancel your account? It took you like a year and a half to get me to finally play. Now you're not even on there anymore.
That's true. Well, I think it's witchcraft. You know, it praises the devil.
Oh, I thought like witchcraft was another online like MMO that you were playing.
No.
World of Witchcraft.
I don't know. I mean, it just got boring. Like, I think that time that we played and then we recorded it, but then we didn't put it out. I think that was the last time I played. And before then, I only played like one time in like 2 months. So I figure, why keep paying for this when we can just get rid of it? And then I can use that money to buy presents for my little dog, who I love.
You should buy him a subscription to World of Warcraft. And be like, oh, you don't like this? Well, I mean, I can just use it in the meantime.
He would love that.
Because there's nothing that he likes more than seeing you happy.
That's true.
Well, that's weird. Well, congratulations on quitting cold turkey. Or I guess, like, week old cold turkey. because it's been a while since you played.
Yeah, it's not exactly cold turkey because I've been playing a lot of NBA 2K12 and Fallout and stuff. So, I mean, I just exchanged it for a different game. But
and for way cooler games, too.
You get that right. Man, Fallout's so goddamn good.
Your cred went up. Do you know that they're doing they're trying to do a Kickstarter for a Fallout movie? For Fallout New Vegas, there's a character called L something. Lillian? Lucian?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, there's a character in Fallout, and they want to do a backstory origin story for him. And they're accepting donations now.
Of course they are, because they don't care about their art. They just want other people to pay for it. They don't have to suffer for it. I hate that goddamn Kickstarter.
Hey, you don't have to suffer for it? Like, how much do you have to suffer to pay for your own movie?
I don't know. The correlation. You got to go and get a job or something and pay for your own movie.
Hey. Is that how it works, Jeremy? Is that how you get money? Did you have to work at McDonald's for like 50 years to finally make that thousands that you needed?
That's what Kevin Smith did. He sold all his comic books. Now these kids can just...
Hey. Yes, he went to credit card debt, dude.
He sold all his credit cards. He sold his comic books.
Yeah, but okay. He only got a couple
grand.
That's
a sweet $500 for it, yeah.
So you're just diminishing Kevin Smith's sacrifice for his art. I'll tell Kevin Smith this. I'm going to be like, yo, Frisbee thinks that you suck and that your art is shitty and that you're a douche.
Yeah, leave me out of it because I'm trying to sell this film to him.
Yeah, at least you're just leaving in the facts that I said all those things.
That's basically what you're saying.
I like Clerks, but I mean, I've also watched his Kevin Smith discussion pieces, those movies where he goes to colleges and talks about maxing out his credit cards, getting loans from people.
Yeah, I bet he had to pay all that back, too, by working at McDonald's.
By having a successful film. He took a bargain on a good one.
Well, or sell his movie for $227,000 to the Weinstein Company.
Well, I don't think these dickheads making the Fallout movie are going to sell their movies to Harvey Weinstein.
No, not at all.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, don't get me wrong, this sounds like a terrible idea.
No, I mean, it sounds like I would watch this movie. But I think I just hate that everybody now is just, give us money on Kickstarter and we'll put out a movie for you.
That's no different than saying, give me money for this movie I want to make. Like, that's what it is. When you go to a production company, help me produce this film. Like, I don't understand what you're saying.
When a production studio, they'll be like, oh, yeah, can we see, like, things you've done, you know, in the past? Mm-hmm. And then you have to, like, show them that stuff. You can't just go, oh, no, we don't have anything that we've done in the past. We just really like Fallout.
No, this guy is actually, I mean, they have experience on this particular movie. I know where you're saying that there's people out there who are doing this stuff with no portfolio. They're just like, you know what I really want to see? A Pac-Man movie. Pac-Man the movie. Just like in that Two Idiots in LA film.
Yeah, yeah.
We on JFT. So yeah, there is that aspect to it. But it's by no means the only aspect. Like, I came in from Kickstarters I've seen, which have been very few. It's always been somebody who had, like, experience, but they're trying to get some sort of grassroots campaign going so they can do it the way they want without having to bow down to, like, production execs who are like, now listen, we're putting a lot of money in this, so we really want to see some Coke advertising in this.
There's absolutely no way that getting money from Miramax or Disney or anything was ever going to happen for this Fallout movie. The only way that these people can make this movie is by leeching off of other people and begging for money. If these people really cared about anything, they would just go out and raise the money themselves somehow and then make a movie.
Yeah, again, when you say somehow, like, isn't one of those somehows Kickstarter?
Man, I guess. I just hate this Kickstarter. It just makes everybody, I don't know. It diminishes art, I think. Bands who have, like, never played a show have Kickstarters so that they can raise money to record their first album. It's fucking stupid.
Okay, I was just going to say, I see your point, Parker. But as somebody that's getting ready to start their own Kickstarter campaign, here's a scoop. I have a script that I wrote. It's fucking great, in my opinion, which is not that great of an opinion, but I'm going with it. Everybody that reads it digs it. So I'm setting out on Kickstarter to raise $25,000 so I can make this movie. And the reason I'm doing that is because the days of Sam Raimi calling dentists are over. You know what I mean? There's so much content in the independent film market that nobody's really willing to make a risk on a film investment anymore. And of course, production companies aren't going to meet with you And unfortunately, if I took my job back at McDonald's, which I quit 6 years ago, it would take me, like you said, 50 years for me to raise enough cash to make this movie. So although I think that crowdfunding is a complete ripoff and it's really shitty, not only from the people that do it, you know, like you said, the bands trying to put out their first record that have never played a show, but also the companies themselves taking a percentage of the net that you earn. I think that it is a really cool thing for people like me, which I don't consider myself an asshole too much. I think that for somebody that's put in the work on feature films and put in the work on TV shows and are trying to do their own thing but don't have that ability to get into the studios, to get into even grassroots production companies, I think it's a great thing. Now, the percentage is completely askew. It's 80%, you know, people that shouldn't be on there, like Park says, and 10% that are at their last means of trying to make this movie or this CD or whatever. And those 10% I'm defending. I completely agree with you for the majority of what you're saying. But, I mean, I've tried the knocking on doors for a year now, and that's got me nowhere. Like, I have no budget right now from doing that. So it's kind of a last resort, and hopefully it's a good one because, you know, I've been wanting to make a movie for so long that until I make one, it's not going to happen for me. So I see what you're saying, but I also disagree with you.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm not talking about everybody. There's this movie that some dudes in New York are trying to make. They got a Kickstarter for. They want to make a documentary about VHS tapes. And I don't really see to where you need a lot of money to make a documentary, but that's what they're doing, and that seems cool. But you and your movie, like, you're not just banking on the popularity of Fallout. You would be banking on the popularity of you. The people who are like, hey, pay for us to make a movie about Fallout. Like, they're just preying on people who like Fallout. It's got nothing to do with these people. It's got nothing to do with their filmmaking skills. It's just that they're fucking exploiting people who really love Fallout. And yeah. I don't think that's cool.
Yeah, and see, like, I just recently seen a Kickstarter for Dick Miller. This guy out in L.A. wants to make a movie Dick Miller.
Yeah, I saw that. That would be cool.
Yeah, that's completely awesome. And it's another point where, like, no studio is going to make a movie on a character actor from, you know, whatever Joe Tante is doing this week. But the fans want to see it. We want to see it. It's the movies that we talk about on our podcast. So, I mean, I think that's where Kickstarter is a great opportunity for people.
Yeah, every once in a while, there'll be a good one. But I don't like these kids going. And there are like a handful of Fallout fan films already out. And those guys didn't use Kickstarter. They just went out and fucking did it. I mean, all you need to do to make a movie about Fallout is drive out to the outskirts of Las Vegas, buy a couple of fake guns, get a zombie mask, and a dog, and you're good. A blue jumpsuit. Like, that's all you fucking need. You don't need all this much money to make a fucking Fallout movie.
No, a Fallout Boy movie? 100% back that.
I would back that as well.
Next for the lightning round, The Jersey Shore, and apparently all spinoffs, including the Pauly D Show and Snooki and J-Wow, are all getting the axe this year. The last season of Jersey Shore, which is their sixth season, is set to start on October 4th and will not be renewed. And this is sad, sad news. This is really sad news, like 3 years ago.
No, this is really sad. Well, yeah, I'll agree with that. I'm really upset about this because I like the Jersey Shore, but the last two seasons were pretty garbage. And I haven't even watched any of that Pauly D or Snooki Show. So yeah, even me, the biggest fan of these guys in the world, I don't even care, I guess, due to what they're putting out now. But I will miss
from
it.
From what I read on TMZ, Snooki is a mom now, so I'm sure she'd want to focus like time and energy on that. You know, I went to the Jersey Shore, actually.
You were on the show?
No, but I was close. I think I may have gone by one of the... one of the t-shirt stands they were on. Wait, which beach were they on typically?
The Atlantic Ocean beach.
Okay. That narrows it down.
Hi, friends. I'm Mike, and I co-host a podcast called Kissing Contest. Kissing Contest is a comedy podcast about movies and TV, featuring two men that platonically live together in Brooklyn, and their producer friend, who lives down the street with his own boyfriend, roommate. We love talking about the hottest and hardest industry news and sharing our throbbing opinions on current and not-so-current movies. If this sounds like something you can swallow, check us out on iTunes or visit our site at kissingcontestpodcast.com.
So the next thing we're doing on the show is we're going to do some confessions, you know, either stuff that's happened on our respective shows or things that have happened in our real lives, whatever it is. We're just going to confess to some things that have been weighing heavily on our minds and hearts for however long. So as is tradition with these sorts of things, Mr. Frisbee, I would like to ask you to go first.
Okay. I was in Japan for about 6 months doing a teaching internship, and there are often times where I regret not just staying in Japan. There are a lot of times when I talk about, like, oh, it's great, my friends are in America, all this stuff, I enjoy hanging out. Yeah, there was a job opportunity that came up while I was over there, a couple actually. Is people just like having an American guy around sometimes, apparently. That's all it takes. And despite some of the stuff that I did not like about Japan, like there's weird, not very progressive gender culture there that I didn't understand. And
they're oppressing women's?
Yeah, I mean, more or less through the love hotels and, well, not so much love hotels, but like the hostess bars, where it's girls who are paid just to like sit there and giggle at a guy who's getting drunk, like make him feel good about himself. But if he pays too much money, talks to the ma'am hostess, you can ask to get that girl to come home with him and stuff. That's kind of weird. I did not like the idea of that at all. That was strange to me. And never participated in that, by the way. That's not it. The core of this argument is, like, despite all that stuff that I thought was kind of strange and weird about the culture, I kind of wish I would have just stayed over sometimes.
Because you hate America?
No. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a road less traveled sort of thing. Like, if I could have just gotten the job, just ditched the degree and everything, and been like, no, I'm just going to work here, that's fine. That should be just fine. Had I not, like, I would have met, like, some of the friends that I have and gone back to hang out with certain people, family. But despite all that, I'm still wistful, rather just stayed over.
Yeah, family's played out. You maybe you should have just stayed. I mean, you got to hang out with John Holmes. Who cares? You could have found the Japanese John Holmes.
yeah.
And maybe
gets drunk all the time, comedian out of Osaka.
Yeah, and maybe he would actually listen to this show. Japanese John Holmes.
When you watch Mr. Baseball, do you get, like, teary-eyed and shit?
No, that's mostly because I never watch Mr. Baseball.
Oh.
But whenever I watch Blade Runner, which I watch all the time, that's when I get most wistful. Even though it doesn't take place in Japan, it's a huge Japanese influence over there. And, like, that noodle hut that he's eating at the beginning, that's pretty awesome.
Don't spoil that noodle hut part for me. I haven't seen that movie.
I didn't think you would. You got like a bad taste in your mouth from Ridley Scott, I feel.
Yeah.
The Prometheus.
I hate that damn Prometheus.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I seen Blade Runner, so I have no clue what you're talking about. I think I lied on Acid Pop Cult and I said I loved it. I just want to look cool.
Is that one of your confessions?
No, actually, I should have wrote that. No, fuck that. No, not a confession. It's the truth, though.
Well, there's another Ridley Scott film like from a year prior, maybe a year after, called Black Rain, that actually takes place in Osaka. That makes me very wistful.
It's about the life and times of Glenn Danzig.
yeah, exactly. He's just moping around Osaka, looking for old Wolverine back issues.
Mm-hmm. And trying to find a place where he can pay a woman to giggle and then have sex with him.
Mm-hmm. And he's actually shorter than most people there. Yeah, so sorry, friends and family. I think I would rather have stayed on the other side of the world than have come back.
Yeah, that's understandable. I know exactly what that's like.
How?
I moved to the other side of the world this one time. Do you remember that? When I moved from Ohio to get away from everybody I've ever met?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not quite as far. Not with the internet and everything. The internet makes us all very close. But it was still pretty far. Halfway. Halfway to Japan.
There you go. Yeah, that makes sense.
I felt responsible for your move.
Why would you feel responsible for this?
Because, like, right after I moved to Ohio, Faith was like, oh, you gotta come over and meet Jeremy. He's a good guy. He's my new boyfriend. And I was like, Parker's so funny because his tweets and his Facebook are so cute and mean. I want to meet him. And then you're like, yeah, that's kind of far to drive. And then you drive cross country to move. I was like, yeah, that's kind of fuck you, Parker.
And I
didn't. Then you had me on the podcast and I forgave you.
Yeah. And it was also probably weird for you because it happened the same night suddenly. Like, you guys were like, hey, Parker, you want to come over and watch a movie? And I was like, I'm moving right now. I got to move.
What movie was it that you were going to come over and watch with us?
Oh.
That I still haven't seen because I'm still waiting to watch it with you.
I don't know. Was it Freaked or something?
Yeah.
Freaked is a good movie.
Yeah. I still haven't watched it. I'm waiting to watch it with you.
Well, I'll be there this weekend.
I'll be in Indianapolis on Friday, but that's only for a couple hours.
All right, well, I'll stop in Indianapolis, and I'll watch Freaked with you. Then I'll go to Dayton and watch Freaked with Faith, and then I'll come back here.
She's going to be in Indianapolis all weekend.
Well,
so
I'm
going to miss her.
Well, I'm going to break into her house and watch the movie with her dog or something, and then I'm coming back here.
The dog's coming to me. That's why we're meeting in Indianapolis.
Man.
Everybody applaud.
All right, well, I'll go to Indianapolis. Let me confess something.
Go ahead.
I would like to confess that the first time that I ever ejaculated, while masturbating, of course, was during an episode of the hit TV show Sister, Sister. I was masturbating to this TV show. And I'd been masturbating for a while till this point. I was a young man. And if you, like, start masturbating, like, too young, like, you kind of get this sensation of, like, a jism, but you don't actually jism. And so one day during Sister, Sister, the first jism came out. And it scared the crap out of me. I didn't know what was happening. But then I kind of realized that it was probably jism and that I was finally a man. And it was Tia and Tamara Lowry who made me a man.
Could have been worse, I guess.
Could have been a lot better. Man, the stuff that, I don't know about you guys, but man, the stuff that when you're a young kid, I imagine maybe you're the same as we're all dudes here, but man, you whack off to some pretty tame stuff back in the day.
Well, I beat into Tia and Tamara all the time.
I don't know, I can never imagine whacking off to Sister, Sister nowadays.
Well, I meant back then.
No. I thought you meant you still had, like, the DVDs and stuff.
No.
Hidden right behind your Silk Stockings DVD set.
I guess that is the comparison you could make. Is like, you know, why not something to USA Up All Night?
Yeah. Well, that came a little later.
So, Sister, Sister, this was, like, 97, 96?
No, it was before that. I think it was before I was in high school. So it was like 93 or 4 or 5, maybe, at the latest.
Wow.
It was a great time. Grunge was happening. Green Day was the biggest band on the earth. And a young Parker was starting to ejaculate. And then it was all downhill, as I never learned about proper ejaculation maintenance. And boy, oh boy, did my room smell like jism.
Sounds like you spackled the ceiling.
Man, you know it.
That's weird. So you weren't prepared or anything for that?
No, I was not prepared. I didn't know. I didn't know how it worked.
Yeah, this is, I don't know, the early 90s were kind of cum-filled, that too.
Mm-hmm.
But for all the wrong reasons. I mean, your family probably didn't have Cinemax or anything, right?
Actually, we did.
Ooh, see, I mean... the plot thickens.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't you just watch that instead?
I don't know. Well, maybe I didn't get that in my room or something.
Okay.
And it was like, middle of the day sort of thing. I mean, you know, Sister, Sister came on at like 3 p.m., 4 p.m. right after school. So I imagine I came home and squeezed one out real quick before going to the park to smoke marijuana.
Marijuana.
How about you, Jeremy? What can you confess for us?
Well, before I confess anything, I just want to say how awesome it is that we both have, like, similar jism stories.
I need to know your jism story now.
I was beaten off the True Lies. Jamie Lee Curtis's striptease. About the same time frame, 94, 95, which really makes me think that I started a little too young, because I know you're a few years older than me. And yeah, I squirted for the first time. I was like, holy, I freaked the fuck out, dude. Like, it scared the shit out of me.
It's a frightening thing.
Yeah. I don't think I tasted it. I think I knew that after a couple minutes it was natural.
Yeah.
But at first, and like, you squeeze. I don't know if you did this, but like, as it started to like pull up, I squeezed and it kind of shot through a little bit. And I was like, what the fuck? And then he let go and it just like shoots again. Like, holy fuck.
My method is different. I just, you know, I do like that move that Jean-Claude Van Damme would do. Like, anytime anybody had him like a bear hug where he would like slap the sides of their heads with his open palm. That's how I masturbate. I just kind of slap it until stuff starts coming out.
You're gonna slap around
extremely aggressive.
Mm-hmm. It's a yeah. Style all my own.
You notice how even with you slapping and me squeezing for dear life, it's still putting a beating, no pun intended, on our cops.
That's true.
So yeah, that's my first. True Lies, Jamie Lee Curtis, striptease.
That's a classic. Out. That's a classic scene. When that comes on FX, I close all the blinds and windows. And I get to work. To this very day, to the day I die.
So my first confession, this is actually really painful for me to admit. Not that I'm embarrassed by it, but just because talking about it kind of creeps me out. I'm told that this is a popular phobia, but I cannot stand the feel or sound of cotton swabs. And I know you're thinking, there's no sound. Even if you throw a cotton swab at 100 miles an hour, it makes no sound. For some reason, if somebody's squeezing a cotton swab, I can hear it. And it makes me run like a little bitch through Target whenever being taunted by my girlfriends.
Maybe you should stop sharing this with your girlfriends.
I learned that the hard way. The next girlfriend, if there ever is one, I will not tell. But then, how do I keep them out of the house, Parker?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know.
There are no cotton swabs in the house, and it's because of my extreme phobia of these damned cotton. Like, I'm twitching right now. I wish this was on video, because I'm twitching from the sheer thought of a fucking cotton swab coming anywhere near me.
Yeah, I like those cotton swabs. I don't like it when the dentist puts the cotton in your mouth, though. That, yeah, that's gross.
Now that's some cotton mouth if I ever heard of it. But on ting.
Hold on. I hate you both.
Now that's a really smart joke.
Yeah, this stuff is kind of gross. I'm a fan of cotton swabs, too.
I like them. I put them in my ears all day long.
See, that's my question. If you don't use it to... Well, I didn't have a question to preempt that, but here's a question for you. Is how I should have phrased that. How do you dry out your ears after you bathe?
See, this is where I get a little weird. Q-tips are fine.
No, okay. That's fine, then.
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
Yeah, because there's that warning on the package for Q-tips to not, like... put them in your ears. I'm pretty sure that means, like, do not put them through your ear canal or, you know, too far in there, because that's all I use Q-tips for.
That's all they are for. There's no other use for them, aside from cleaning out your Nintendo games.
Right. And when's that going to happen again? Like, I don't see any other commercial application for it, or, like, it's my most wasteful thing. Like, I use one almost every time I bathe, unless I'm, like, bathing twice a day.
It's never been more apparent that you guys don't have children.
do these guys use a lot of Q-tips?
You use a lot of them, a lot of Q-tips on them, especially if they're babies. You use them to clean out their nose. You use Q-tips to administer peroxide from time to time, depending on how small the cut is.
To heal their wounds. These babies, they're getting so many wounds these days, open wounds.
They're battle scarred from living in New Vegas.
Yeah, these babies today, they're a lot like the battle damaged Skeletor. You touch their chest and it just explodes into scars and blood.
I would also use Q-tips to clean out their eyes, like the corner of their eyes. As babies, of course. Now it's like just dig your finger in there, but when they're babies, you don't want to get them sick with your viruses and shit.
You also never want to pour salt in their eyes.
Never pour salt in their eyes. Always pour salt in their eyes.
Mr. Frisbee, confess something, please.
To go in line with the irrational fear sort of thing, because this one that I have is very irrational in how I approach it. The last scene from Sleepaway Camp still terrifies me to this day. And here's what I do to remind myself that I'm still a feeling human being. Because when I watch like a lot of movies now, I don't get scared by anything that's in it. There's nothing quite terrifying about like new horror movies. I get a jump, but I'm never like, oh man, that was so scary later on. If I ever want to scare myself, sometimes I just have to think about it, or if it's been a while, I'll just watch a YouTube clip for end of Sleepaway Camp. And that lasts like 50 seconds where it's just girl hissing, holding the knife, and that weird face.
The weird smile, that's the scariest part.
Because it looks so inhuman, like, it is. I mean, I found out, like, even though I found out that that's a mask, that they didn't, you know, put prosthetics on the lower torso or anything. It's a guy in this mask with the big eyes and like the almost unhinged jaw of that smile. Just how it's frozen in that expression with the knife and how it still looks kind of good in that grainy 1980s film sort of way. And the pan out and the close up. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have nightmares tonight just from talking about it. I'll have to sleep with the lights on. And in fact, I sometimes do. I'll just like keep the lights on because I'm like, no chance I'm going to sleep like a regular adult now. I'm going to have to just leave everything on and keep checking under the bed to make sure she's not there.
That's understandable. I think the first time I watched that movie, I was like so transfixed with like that creepy face that, spoiler alert, I didn't even realize there was a penis in the frame. You know, which is like the big reveal, more so, I guess, than the scary face. But I was like just so scared of that scary face, I couldn't take my eyes off of it.
Yeah. In fact, just last night, I had like one of my closet doors open. Fuck it. Vangela's peering around that door with that face. I don't want to see that. I got to close it.
That's understandable.
And then also another point, like, I know there's some space underneath this bed, so I'm going to have to just do a quick check over the side to make sure that at some point during the night, I don't see those creepy fucking eyes peering up over the side of the bed. Barely slept at all last night. This is terrible, and I don't have to remedy it. And part of me doesn't want to remedy it because it's the last thing that genuinely scares me. I don't want to, in a way, I don't want to give that up. Like, I want to make sure that I never lose this scary thing because I want to have, like, that one fear.
Did you ever see the movie The Strangers? I bet it will give you the fear.
No, I saw that in theaters.
Oh.
And it was okay.
Well, then like, you truly are a fearless man, then.
Yeah, like, I can watch The Strangers again and not really care. Like, it's, I think it's shot very well. It was very fun when I saw it because it was an opening night and the theater was overcrowded and they were like, we had to sit in the front row of one of their stadium seating theaters, like at a multiplex. There was a bunch of high school girls, like on the side, like high school kids, but a lot of the girls had gotten out of their chairs and were like, you know, sitting on the floor in front of their friends, like grabbing their friends' ankles and stuff. Like, oh God, don't get in that closet. No, the guys are behind you.
That was for Young Love. Our audience loves Young Love.
Yeah, yeah. So, who doesn't?
Does John Brown like Young Love?
Right. Everyone loves Young Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a fun date night and a fun date movie, but by no means do I, like, see the masks of those characters and the strangers and, like, oh no, it's going to be another sleepless night and a sleepaway camp. Only thing that does that to me.
It's a scary movie.
I just worked myself up so much over it. I don't know.
Are you scared right now?
A little bit. Like, I can feel the breath of Angela in that creepy face right behind me, like between my shoulder blades.
That's scary.
Like, that's what it feels like.
Now I'm thinking about that. Now I'm a little scared. I don't like this.
And it's not much. It's so minimalistic. That's the problem with it. Like, I mean, not the problem, but I guess what makes it so scary is because it doesn't really do a whole lot. Like, they just kind of cut the flashbacks and then the other campers' reactions. Yeah, terrifying. In fact, I think I was catching up on Junk Food Dinners when I made that trip back to Ohio. We had an episode where you talked about... Yeah, an episode where you talked about Sleepaway Camp and, like, other camp movies. And I knew, even then, like, all right, I have to sleep with the TV on tonight because I'm thinking too much about Angela. So I stopped in a hotel and, yeah.
And Angela was there.
She's always there.
Yeah.
But just that incarnation, you know. Lovely actress and everything. Like, I've seen interviews with her and everything, but it's just... God, why would a film like that have so much power? And they do these other fucking, like, horror movies, like The Strangers. Haven't seen Hostel, but I imagine that one's kind of terrible. Like, even the clips I've seen of Serbian film, like, it looks so clean where I'm like, I don't know.
It's a beautiful film, that Serbian movie.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's the Citizen
King. There's something about that reel, that 80s grain, that just everything that comes together in that scene, that hissing noise, the expression on that mask, even it's supposed to be your face, it just looks so inhuman. Oh.
Yep. As a matter of fact, we're now going to show a still from that ending to our studio audience and get their reaction.
Well played, sir.
I'm glad they feel the same.
Yeah, they hate it. The next thing I'm going to confess is that a while back on this show, we had Shelby Cobras from the Illogical Contraption show, which you can find at illogicalcontraption.com probably. And we in the lightning round, we had a news story about how the bassist or somebody from the band Smash Mouth was in trouble for beating up his wife. And then we proceeded to make fun of Smash Mouth and talk about how they're a crummy band and how they're irrelevant and stuff. But I was really just going with the flow there. In reality, I think that Smash Mouth's first album, Fush You Mang, is fucking sweet.
A lot of people did. You're not alone.
I still do. I still listen to it. I love it. Flow is a great song. Song about the landlord is so good. Pet Names is a great song. The only songs on that album that are not sweet were the songs that were singles. Which was kind of the thing at the time to do. The Offspring, all their singles suck, and some of their albums are sweet. And I think that was a thing to do if you were like a SoCal band back then, is to make these shitty singles and then do the rest of your albums pretty sweet.
Yeah, it seems about right.
I listened to them in the shower the other day. Still like them.
I've actually never heard the album. I just know a lot of people enjoy that first one.
Somebody once told me. I don't know.
Well, that one was actually Walking on the Sun, right?
Yeah, I don't like that song.
Walking on the Sun was on that first one.
Yeah, but that song stinks. I always skip it.
Yeah, but going in line with what you're saying, the singles they put out, like, don't buy this album, but then when you listen to the rest of it, it's like, oh yeah, you should totally buy this album.
Mm-hmm. So Jeremy, what is something that you need to confess?
Okay, so I realize that this next confession might be a little hard for you guys to take, but it's something that not many people know. In fact, not even my loved ones know this. I am a huge fan of the TV show iCarly. My family knows that. But this next part is the shocking part. I don't know if you guys ever seen this wacky iCarly, but it's all about these kids that do a web show from their loft in Seattle, because that's where all the cool people hang out. And iCarly is hosted by iCarly Shay, and her big brother has kind of guardianship over her. His name is Spencer Shay, and he is played by the wonderful actor Jerry Traynor. Now, my confession is this. I have a giant man crush on this child star actor, Jerry Traynor. I guess child star is the worst possible phrasing of that at this moment because he is not an underage child star. He is the oldest of the kids. He's in his 20s. He's an artist. He's goofy. He's wacky. He's everything that you would expect from a Nickelodeon character. But yeah, I dare you to look this sweet angel faced gentleman up on the interwebs and not pop a boner.
Oh my God.
So embarrassed. But it was 100% true.
Well, you want to kiss this kid on the mouth?
I kind of just want to write him a really good part in a movie and cast him and just stare at him while he, like, from a over at Video Village, where like all the monitors are set up, where you can watch the scene unfold while you're making the movie. I just want to cast him and sit behind Video Village and watch him do his thing, like very creepily, and laugh and say, "Thank you, that was great. Do it again."
Yeah,
for coverage, you know, or for safety. Or maybe there was a hair in the gate. Let's do it again just for safety. But really, I'm just going to be squeezing the tip of my boner, wishing I was a homosexual male.
That's understandable. Pummeling it
Jean-Claude Van Damme style.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had crushes like that before where, like, you're just enamored with a person and you've got, like, this crush on them, but, like, you don't want to get involved with them out of, like, a fear of tainting them or something, you know? You don't want to rub off your cretinism on them.
Yeah, I don't want to shoot my evil into his anal cavity. I just want to watch him where I'm, like you said, I'm enamored. I just want to be around him. The only other male that I felt this way about is probably John Landis. It's not in a gay sex way. It's in a gay, I just want to be near you way.
That's understandable.
I'm glad you understand, because I thought I was going to get picked on for that.
It seems reasonable. I don't know. I've never seen this kid. Maybe he's like a real ugly man to me, and then
he
I would pick on
is.
You.
He probably is.
I don't know. I think that the Disney Channel only puts attractive people on their programming, so that's probably the desired effect. That's probably what they wanted. Also, you know, this is much better than if you were like, this iCarly, just in love with her. I just want to...
Yeah, that's fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Like, there are iCarly fan sites where, like, 50-year-old men want to fuck her and her best friend Sam, who is a cute little blonde-haired girl. But still, I mean, that's creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're 18 now, and which, okay, fair game. But until then, fucking stop with them. Enough with the fucking fan sites, people.
Yeah, it's so gross when I, like, go to, like, a website or something, and they've got, like, a... Like, they had this with, like, the Olsen twins a couple years ago, and... Like, I think I saw it for iCarly and the Miley Cyrus and the Chloe Moretz. Where, like, they have, like, a countdown timer to when they turn 18. It's, man, the internet. That's one of the worst things on you. Aside from those things that Mike Dick doesn't like. Those things we're not allowed to talk about anymore.
There's a great GIF on Tumblr of Carly from the show when she's clearly underage. It's like from the first season, reacting to just various things. You know, they have her reaction and it's cute, and then it cuts to like her point of view, which is like a fat man rubbing his nub of a penis, or a woman squirting into the camera from her vagina hole.
I've seen that one. That's a good one. I like that GIF.
Yeah, that's great. That I can get behind.
Yeah, I can get behind some squirting gifts.
It's not a party unless you have squirting gifts on replay throughout your house.
That's true. When I open up my club, my fabulous New York City club, I'm going to have monitors all over the place, and they're just going to be squirting gifts.
Is your club going to be called Latex?
You know it. Mr. Frisbee, confess something to me.
Last week, I had an assaulting rant on slash fiction for cartoons.
And it turns out you've been writing slash fiction for years.
Absolutely.
You hypocrite.
I realized shortly after sobering up from that episode that I had read, like, slash fiction of Dragon Ball Z characters years and years ago. Mainly out of curiosity.
Oh my God.
And... went away for a while, and I talked a lot smack about it, but then I started to realize I've actually read some of this stuff,
Did you enjoy it? Did it give you a boner?
No, and I can't even tell you why I've been reading it. But I'm now writing my own versions of fan fiction.
Featuring...
based on fictional characters. So the one I'm trying out first is Let the Right One In, into your mouth or anus. Of course, based on the movie Let the Right One In, but that seemed kind of obvious because it's vampires. Not so much that the title sucks. I think the title's great.
Also, that doesn't really work as, fan fiction in today's climate, because that features a boy and a girl. What you need is two straight boys having sex.
Well, it's the boy... yeah, it's... there's a gender issue in that movie, and also stays alive and kind of gets kinky that way. I was mostly inspired by a fan fiction that I read that's actually Snape from Harry Potter series having sex with the Teletubbies. This is an actual thing.
And
it exists.
It's titled Solid Snape.
No, it's actually very unassuming.
No.
I think it's like Forbidden Love or something like that.
Yeah, no shit, Forbidden Love. If you're fucking Teletubbies, that shit should stay forbidden.
Yeah. It seemed like well-worn territory to have vampires and stuff. I've also got Dora the Sexual Explorer.
That's a smart joke.
Bert and Ernie are definitely a gay couple in the Eiffel Tower Elmo. And this is canon. That is all one title. Hopefully that gets picked up. I'm also working on, inspired by the Snape and Teletubbies thing, I'm working on a cross-genre or cross-universe thing of Godzilla and Clifford the Big Red Dog and the Iron Giant all having sex with each other.
Nice.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Maybe I'll combine my new love of podcast gossip with a newfound love of fan fiction and just do these podcast fan fictions.
Mm-hmm.
Where,
can I be involved?
Yeah, you and you.
Even
and
if
Lee?
You don't want to be, you'll be involved.
Yeah.
No, that was good. Okay.
Especially if you don't want to be involved. That's how these things work.
Yeah.
The next thing that I would like to confess is that a few months ago, I was playing NBA 2K12. And, in basketball, my favorite basketball players are like these real silky shooters. You know, I don't like these real defensive guys. You know, I don't like these guys that slam dunk too much or anything like this. Or, you know, these creative, dribblers and, layup artists. You know, I like the silky shooting. It's fun to watch to me. I'm watching the guys silkily shoot basketballs all day. So I was like drafting my team and stuff based around the fact that, you know, I like silky shooters and stuff. And so I picked Dirk Nowitzki first. My second pick was Steve Nash. And then I was going to, you know, pick maybe, I don't know who I was going to pick, but, you know, I realized, hey, if three out of the five guys on my starting lineup, or if at least three out of the five guys on my starting lineup are white guys, people are going to think I'm racist. So I decided to not pick any more white guys for my starting lineup, even though I had some coming off the bench. I felt that if I were to ever play a game online and I had a starting lineup of all these silky white shooters, that people would accuse me of racism. So I had to change my team all around based on this. I mean, like, if you guys were playing an online basketball game or football game or whatever it is that you fancy, and the opposing team was, like, mostly white dudes, would you accuse that guy of being racist?
You're talking about, like, this is Xbox Online?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that, from what I understand, there's plenty of racism to go around anyway.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're going to call you the N-word for no reason, basically.
That's true.
I wouldn't so much worry about how you racially represent yourself.
That's true. Even if, like, my entire team was 100% white, I would still be the least racist person on Xbox Live.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, now I feel better. Now I'll go ahead and make that 100% white dude team after all.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm trying...
You could name your team the Freddie Mercuries. And... But if you named him like the oh-so-straight Arnold Schwarzeneggers, he'd still get called gay.
That's true.
It's a very intolerant group there. And I don't care that I'm saying it because I'm not on there.
They can't get you.
They can only get me between themselves.
Yeah.
So.
They're trying to keep Xbox American over there.
Oh, they can only get me between themselves. That's another fan fiction I should start writing.
Jeremy, confess something.
Well, first I just want to say that that confession just proves my point that you are my doppelganger, because I had a similar experience during my fantasy football draft. But I digress.
Did you like rethink your entire team after realizing that you had a group of that wasn't very diverse?
Yeah, I went out and I it hurt my team too, because by that time I went so many rounds and all you have left are white guys.
That's true.
So I'm not doing too good already, with tonight being the opening kickoff to the 2012 season. I'm already getting killed. It's only one game in. I'm fucked.
I'm truly sorry for what's happened to you.
I'm sorry for your loss.
I saw it on the news this morning.
Having an awe.
So I still have a couple on my list. I think I'm picking the most embarrassing confession. I would like to confess that after seeing The Dark Knight Rises, before seeing The Dark Knight Rises, I went on a kick, if you will, of just watching old Batman the Animated Series episodes. And this also coupled with listening to Kevin Smith's new podcast, Fat Man on Batman.
Which he sold all his comic books to produce this podcast.
This is a true fact. Crispy, I don't know if you knew that. I was mostly going through listening to the, watching the episodes that were heavily influenced by Mr. Paul Dini. He's one of my favorite comic book writers and just Batman guys in general. I think he's added a lot to the universe. And I went back and I watched this episode from, I believe it was season 4. And although I didn't get teary-eyed watching the episode, a lot of cute, heartwarming things happened during this episode. Whenever my girlfriend got off work, I was telling her about this awesome episode that I just watched, and I proceeded to break down in tears, to which she had to kind of console me and tell me, it's just a cartoon. Finish your fucking story so I can get on with my day. And like, I'm sobbing. You just don't understand. I love Batman so much. Like, I'm getting teary-eyed right now just talking about the story.
this is actually how I got after seeing that new Batman movie too. I was like, oh, how could they ruin the story so badly? How is it that Batman escaped a nuclear explosion? And then how is it that Joseph Gordon-Levitt could look right at it and not go blind? That's just so terrible. The writing is so bad. Oh.
That is so fucked up.
Spoiler alert.
Said that. Obviously, with the mention of the fucking autopilot 7 times, he fixed the autopilot. That's how he got away from the nuclear. Shut up, Parker! You don't understand.
He would have had to have bailed out, like, you know, 50 miles away from the blast zone.
Yeah, I didn't think about that before, but the nuclear blast, it's a nuclear blast, right?
Yeah. That everybody's looking right at. All the school children.
Man, I've seen that, like, about Hiroshima getting bombed, like, yeah, their faces should have at least melted off. They should be blind.
Yeah, and Gotham's not going to be habitable, for the next 300 years. No one's going to be able to live there.
They were very upfront that it was only a 5-mile radius.
That's a very specific bomb.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't your normal bomb. It was different. Yeah. Shut up!
It's all a bunch of phooey.
Also, Bane has a metal goatee mouth in that movie.
That he does.
Looking back on like early Batman the Animated Series, when it was on in like 92, 93 on, was it Fox? That show was hard as fuck, man. Like, there was gunfire and all this shit that we kind of overlook now because it's all like lasers predominantly, but yeah, there was like real gunfire, real threat of bullets in that show.
Yeah, if anybody is a fan of that show, even if you're not so much a fan of Kevin Smith, definitely check out the Fat Man on Batman podcast, because he has Bruce Timm on, he has Paul Dini on, Tara Strong, who was the voice of Batgirl and later Harley Quinn in the video games. A lot of people from the Batman the Animated Series universe come on, and he pretty much just he lets them talk, which is unusual for Kevin Smith. but you learn a lot about the series, especially the Paul Dini and the Bruce Timm episodes, because they were executive producer, writer, and Bruce Timm was like the creative or the lead drawer. He created kind of what they call in DC the Timmiverse. His characters are very identifiable to his style.
I like his style. I like the Justice League show.
Yeah, they were both heavily influenced by Bruce Timm and Paul Dini as well.
Nice. Mr. Frisbee, would you like to confess your last confession?
Sure. Also last episode of Pool Party Radio, I went on a rant that a lot of the people who do fan fiction fall back on a broad perspective of their sexuality called pansexualism. And I describe pansexually as having sex with anything. That is not true. And I didn't actually know that at the time. I mean, I was for the sake of just, you know, being outrageous, but in truth, I wasn't really completely certain what pansexual identity was. Not only that, but learning that it's being able to be attracted to men or women, regardless of sex or gender, like if they're transgender, portray themselves, or they're androgynous, I realized that I actually had feelings for David Bowie in his androgynous stage. So there's a good chance that I might be pansexual as well.
Mr. Frisbee, you're pansexual.
I'm guessing you, so. Well, I'm also writing fan fiction, so it kind of works out.
And The Crow is your favorite movie, and you love The Craft.
It turns out that I do enjoy those things. I also don't mind scented candles and patchouli, so there's a good chance that I'm Wiccan also.
Yep. It's funny that you confess this, that after your rant on pansexuality, that you're going back and you might be pansexual and you're doing damage control. Because after the last episode, I was like, oh, right. Finally, I found something that Frisbee gets angry about. This is great, you know? No, it was like the first time in the history of the podcast that you were angry about something.
I was angry, and it turns out I didn't even know what it was.
Well,
which is part and parcel why I was angry.
Tune in to episode 150, where we'll find a second thing that makes Frisbee angry. I thought that we came to a real successful spot on this show.
I still think it's dumb to use it as something to fall back on when talking about why you're doing things. Like, it's hardly a motivator for writing Adventure Time / fiction.
That's true. I just don't care about all these kids. They try to get into a group somehow. If you're a person that finds yourself attracted to boys or girls or David Bowie's or whatever it is, how about just be Dave, the guy who likes boys or girls or David Bowie's or transsexuals or whatever it is. Like, I hate that everything has to have some weird name. That way everybody can feel like they're part of a group. These days.
That actually makes more sense. I was just trying to clear up the fact that pansexuals do not have sex with curtains, which I said last week.
Although if they did, we wouldn't judge them.
Yeah.
That's fine to do.
I guess that's more of it then.
All right, well, if you're a listener that is now disappointed that Mr. Frisbee is no longer angry at something, email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com and give us some topics that maybe you think would anger Mr. Frisbee, and we'll throw them out. We'll just throw out topic after topic. Why don't we talk about that? We'll throw out topic after topic and see what makes Mr. Frisbee angry. We got to find something. There's got to be something that riles up your blood. Finally, after 74 episodes, you got riled up. Now it's over. I was going to try to find a clever way to sneak pansexuality into every show. Now it's ruined.
Yeah. Well, that's what I get for getting drunk and not knowing the correct definition.
These words. There's no correct definition for words.
Well, there goes my tranny confession.
There goes my dictionary.
My final confession is that the other day I was looking around on the internet and I stumbled upon a little girl named Dahlia Rose. She is a girl who is 5 years old. She has progeria, which is a disease that only 100 people in the world have. And it makes you age, you know, like a lot, sort of like a Benjamin Button sort of a thing. And you pretty much die of old age when you're like 12 or 13. And this It made me kind of sad. I got kind of bummed out. And I watched a bunch of her videos on YouTube and stuff like this. And, this is something that really touches me because I fucking love the movie Jack, where Robin Williams has, like, a movie version of this disease, and he, like, ages, you know, and he, like, dies of old age, like, you know, when he's, like, 15 or something. And I love that movie, and it was making me think of that. And then, like, apparently there's this whole movement on the internet. Like, this girl's mom, like, she puts these videos up of her dancing and singing. It's all very cute and stuff. And it, like, raises awareness for the disease and things. And there's this whole movement of people on the internet who just go on the internet and on the YouTubes and on the Facebooks. And they just start groups and they start websites about how this girl is ugly and how she's a monster. And it's terrible. And it made me really ashamed of humanity. And I got a little weepy-eyed. Maybe I shed a little tears. You know, maybe I was, maybe my heart is not made of stone like I had originally thought. And, so I was weeping while, reading these horrible, horrible fucking, YouTube comments about how people think, you know, she's a monster and stuff like this. And, it bummed me out.
This is hardly a confession on my end, but I think that anybody who comments on YouTube videos is probably extremely terrible. If you want to get real bummed out, I think I mentioned this before, you can click on the Martin Luther King I Had a Dream speech, and you don't have to go back a few pages at all. You can just scroll down to see the hate flowing through the internet.
To be fair.
Real sick and disgusting. Just YouTube comments mainly, though.
Yeah, well, all YouTube comments are pretty vicious and stuff, but I don't know. What kind of monster do you have to be? Like, I mean, at least Martin Luther King's like an adult or something. Like, what kind of monster do you have to be to attack a 5-year-old girl whose only joy in life is to make YouTube videos of herself dancing?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean,
why do you think that's okay? Like, who says this is a reasonable response to call a little girl an ugly monster? There's no reason to not do this. And, like, there was, like, one video on there about, you know, like, it was, like, this 15-year-old kid, and he was like, hey, I'm making this video in response to Adalia Rose, and, I just want to preface this by saying this is just my opinion. I'm entitled to have an opinion. And this girl is an ugly monster. Like, it's not an opinion. Like, and who cares if you're entitled to have your opinion? Like, you don't have to, like, link it to the girl's page and, like, make sure that she sees it. Like, that's not how an opinion works. If you want to tell your buddy or, like, do a podcast or whatever and talk about, oh, this girl's a monster, like, have at it. But, man, you don't have to, like, make an MP3 copy of that podcast or YouTube video and put it on a disc and mail the girl the disc, for fuck's sake. Like, you're an insane person. You're a fucking evil monster for doing that.
Yeah, that's a line I'm not willing to cross.
In a related story, though, I recently emailed Kevin Smith a video of me talking about how he's a monster, a horrible monster. So I hope he gets that.
Hopefully you prefaced it by saying it's only your opinion.
This is only my opinion, Kevin Smith. But Red State is fucking stupid. And you're stupid. Jeremy, would you like to confess your last confession?
I think my confession should say that I've not only cried during stories, but I've cried how much you've attacked me on this show.
I'm attacking Kevin Smith.
In the Batman movie.
Anyway. That Batman movie was stupid.
I hate you.
I didn't even know you liked it.
I loved it.
It's stupid.
My confession is this. Still movie-related, but not Batman.
I'm sorry, Kevin Smith. I apologize.
Don't retract your statements on my account, sir.
Well, I'm sorry that it hurt your feelings. I'm not sorry that it hurt Kevin Smith's feelings.
I'm drunk. Don't worry about me.
I'm worried about you. You'll never come on our show again.
Have you heard my podcast? I love this kind of treatment.
Oh, yeah. This is probably going to be Roxy's favorite episode of Pool Party.
Yeah.
We're getting revenge for Roxy. You made fun of her too much.
Alright, so not too long ago, but long enough ago to where I'm kind of having trouble remembering the episode number, I had my mom on as a guest on Acid Pop Cult, in which we discussed chick flicks. And one of my chick flicks that I talked about was Little Black Book. I kind of dismissed it. I kind of just said, I guess that this would be a chick. I've never seen it, blah, blah, blah. Well, on your show, I am willing to confess that this is actually one of my favorite fucking movies of the past 10 years. And as recently as yesterday, I watched, and not only did I watch, I got weepy-eyed yet again. Something about this movie, maybe it's the untimely death of Brittany Murphy, or the fact that I want to jerk off at least a minimum of 3 times after watching it because of how hot she is in this movie. Something about it just gets me, though. I love it. I think Holly Hunter's great in it, and I don't care what anybody thinks. Coming Clean is one of my favorite movies. Little Black Book. Check it out.
Yes. That is a mixed response.
That is a very mixed reaction.
Sorry about that. Sorry to rile up half your audience.
Well, the other half was pretty
very supportive.
Very supportive, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You do what you want.
You do you.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this movie, so I have...
Here do I.
I have no strong feelings either way.
I typically don't get involved... I don't watch, which is to say I get very deeply emotionally invested and involved in romantic movies or sad movies like this one. I'm assuming it sounds to me like it's like The Notebook or Red Green Tomatoes or Steel Magnolias.
There's no hot girls in any of those movies, Frisbee. This is a totally different genre.
Oh, okay. The non-hot girl movies. Mm-hmm. So, what is a... This is Little Black Book?
Yeah, basically Ron Livingston from Office Space plays Brittany Murphy's boyfriend. He goes out of town, and she stays at his apartment to watch his dog and shit.
Oh, and then like she hunts down all his ex-girlfriends because she finds...
He leaves his BlackBerry there, and she gets... kind of jealous because he's been seeing one of his exes or a couple of his exes that he's maintained friendships with, and she wants to get to the bottom as to why. Now Holly Hunter plays her boss at the Kippy Can show, which Kathy Bates is like a Jenny Jones or a Ricky Lake type daytime talk show personality. She's one of the segment producers on this show. So she uses the show's resources to look up all these women. And hilarity ensues, especially whenever she goes to visit Rashida Jones, who is actually a gynecologist. And her reason for going to this doctor was that she had warts she set on her feet, not knowing that it was a gynecologist, so they assumed it was in her cunt. It's kind of funny.
That's a wacky mix-up.
Yeah. One of the other things that I like about the flick is that it doesn't have your typical rom-com ending. Not to get too much of a spoiler alert, but it's more downer than you'd expect from a film of this this type. Not everything works out for it.
That sounds sad. This movie makes you sad, does it?
Something a little bit.
I wonder.
A little bit, but in a clever kind of way.
I see what you're saying. Intern Robo John Brown, have you ever seen this movie? Does this movie make you sad?
I'm human, you know, believe it or not.
Robo John Brown, he gets sad too.
Thank you, Robo John Brown. I feel you, dog.
You feel me, though?
I'm fucking, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's all our confessions. We've confessed all we can confess. Also, I've never seen Die Hard. So that's the end of the show. I would like to thank Jeremy Morrison from Acid Pop Cult at acidpopcult.com for joining us and confessing things.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen.
Thank you. Anything else you want to plug besides Acid Pop Cult at acidpopcult.com and also on iTunes?
Yeah, look for my Kickstarter soon. Yeah.
I'll donate a lot of money to make up for completely calling you out about Kickstarter unintentionally.
No, that's fine, because I feel the way you do. We talked about that, though. Yeah, but if you have, like, 20 grand lying around, that'd be cool.
Yeah, don't give it to some dickhead making a Fallout fucking... just some piggybacking off the success of something that's already successful.
There you go.
Unless I'm definitely not piggybacking off of, say, like Clerks or Chasing Amy or anything like that.
Well, Clerks and Chasing Amy were piggybacking off of Slacker, so I think it'll be all right.
I am piggybacking off of Annie Hall, though, so...
I don't watch those kind of movies.
Oh, good?
I don't know. I've only seen one Woody Allen movie, and I like it so much that I get like this sometimes, where like if I like something like a whole lot, I don't delve deeper into that person's other work out of fear of not liking that stuff.
Let me put it to you this way, and I'll keep it short. The success of a relationship that I am in depends on whether or not the girl likes Annie Hall.
I see. I feel that way about the Serbian film. I haven't been in very many relationships, you see. throw out those Twitters. Throw out some Twitters. You like Twitter. What's your Twitters?
I do like Twitter. My Twitter is jmoonshill, but spell it like JMO on show, and you'll find me. Oh, and I started in that TV show that's not out yet, but when it comes out, watch that.
Yeah. Watch that. And it's on Showtime, right? The best channel there is because it has Homeland on it?
does it? I don't know.
Homeland is sweet.
It's on Showtime.
Nice. Yeah. I love that Showtime. I love that Homeland. So check out poolpartyradio.com. That's where we live. All our episodes live there. A lot of old episodes are there. A lot of new episodes are there. All the episodes are there. Also from there, you can find a link to our Twitters and a link to our iTunes where you can subscribe and give us ratings and reviews. We, I think, got a new one this week, so that's pretty cool. I think we still got an odd number. I like to have even numbers, so if we could get two more to bump us up to the next 5 or 0, however many we need to get that would make me feel better about my life. Also, not just for me, but for the show itself, if we get a lot of ratings and reviews, then more people see the show, and then, that's helpful. Another helpful way for people to see the show is for you to just tell your friends. I forever see people, stupid dickheads on Facebook, posting stuff like, oh, check out this quote where Bill Nye said that Todd Akin is a retard, and, hey, guess what, people, that's not fucking true. But you know what is true? The pool party is sweet. So post that link instead of posting some old stupid shit on Facebook that isn't even real. You fucking stupids.
Yeah, I was ashamed of reading that post of Bill Nye, that fake Bill Nye quote.
So sad.
I was just thinking, like, there's no way that Bill Nye would use this kind of language. He's such a gentleman.
I know. How dumb do you have to believe, or do you have to be to believe that Bill Nye would go on TV and call Todd Akin a retard and then, like, threaten to have sex with his butt? Like, you're fucking stupid, man. And so many people I know posted stuff like this. Like, people that I thought, like, were smart and, like, people I thought, like, were fucking up on intelligence and reading and stuff like this. Like, god damn.
Like, more people are fans of fan fiction than I originally thought.
I don't mean to rain on or, to steal yet another segment from the show, but I do have it on good authority that it's like a blind item that one of the three hosts of Acid Pop Cult actually started that rumor.
The Bill Nye thing?
Yeah.
Well, it was first on current.com.
But no, it started here first.
But it was first on current.com.
Fuck you. I'm just trying to get more hits, man.
We see right through you, clever ruse.
It's because I steal too much from you. You just know.
What else is there? Also, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. You can like us there. That would be nice because I like when people do that. And then, you'll get news about the show. News you might not get anywhere else. Like if we suddenly don't do an episode 1 week, which has never happened, but it might happen, you'll find out there. You can also, as we said a couple of weeks ago, you can let us know how you feel about Eisenhower. You know, if you don't want to get involved in all these newfangled, attacks on Facebook and heated discussions on Facebook about Romney and Obama, let us know how you feel about Eisenhower. We'll talk about it in a calm, intelligent way. Also, check out the Badland Girls at badlandgirls.com. They are knee-deep in their so-called Ultimate Parker Project, wherein, on their newest episode and on the two upcoming episodes, they will be watching some action movies that I request, or I didn't so much request that they watch them, but I suggested that they do watch in their life at some point. they talked about Invasion USA on the newest episode, which is a fantastic film, wherein a man tells another man that it's time for him to die. That's all you need to know about that movie. It's fucking sweet. And they'll be watching some other stuff, Crank and stuff, and it's very delightful, and they do a good show. Also, be sure to check out awfulflix.tk or awfulflix.tumblr.com. That's F-L-I-X, like Netflix. Me and Jesse from Pod Awful at podawful.com. We got together a couple of weeks ago. We did an audio commentary for the movie Mac and Me. It's a movie about shitty, naked aliens that are really gross and disgusting. And, you know, we did an audio commentary for it, so you can listen to that while you watch Mac and Me on Instant Netflix, where you can find it right now. And I think we're going to be getting together every so often to do audio commentaries for movies, you know, that are on Instant Netflix, because you pay so much money and you get so many bad movies. So me and Jesse are going to try to make them a little bit better for you.
Free of charge.
Very free. So it's also on iTunes, by the way. You can search for it on iTunes. Leave it some nice ratings and reviews if you feel like that. So enjoy that. Check that out. So this is Parker for Jeremy and Jason Razorbabe saying, fuck you, Chelios.
Sitting in my boxers, eating Apple Jacks. Welcome to my world. Welcome to my world. Rocking into late night Cinemax. Welcome to my world. Jägermeister and Captain Crunch. Nicotine and the Brady Bunch. I'm building a boat out of pudding cups. Welcome to my world. Welcome to my world. Non-stop, no girl action without you. This old shirt is starting to stink. I don't give a damn what people think. I can take a leak in the kitchen sink. Welcome to my world. No, you needn't shed a tear. Cause I've got waffles and I've got beer. And I've got Mr. Belvedere. Welcome to my world. Welcome to my world. Non-stop, no girl action without you.
It was on the news this morning. A mother in awe who had killed her three kids. They are taking the three babby back to New York, to lady to rest. My barrier with the father who lost his children. I am truly sorry for your lots.